Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 37. Jesus said this, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." We are going to be talking about Noah today. We have a special guest that is going to join us in the second segment of the program, a man named Dr. Tim Chaffee. Author and content manager for the Ark Encounter. You know, American Family Association has a big date coming up, October 31st through November 2nd, touring the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter, and you can be a part of that. The cost is $225 for adults 18 and over, $100 for children 3 through 17, and free for children 2 and under, and it's going to be a great time there at the end of October, 1st of November. So we're going to be talking to him about the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum, and so I thought it would be good for us to talk about the days of Noah. Now, I've had some guests on the program in the past, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and I asked him, I said, "Now, do you think we're in the days of Noah?" And he said he didn't. And then I had another guest on, Jeff Kinley, who's the prophecy pro, Jeff Kinley, and he said, "I think we are in the days of Noah." So good and godly people can disagree, but here's the thing. We all agree that the days of Noah, if they're not here, they are coming. Now, we read about the days of Noah in Genesis chapter 5 and in Genesis chapter 6, which leads us to the flood in Genesis 7. And Genesis 5 tells us the kind of world that Noah grew up in. And Noah was the son of Lamech, and Noah's grandfather was Methuselah. And Methuselah had an interesting name, Enoch. He was Enoch's son. And Enoch was the guy that was not, for the Lord took him. He was the first one that went to heaven. Two guys have gone to heaven without dying, and that is Enoch and Elijah. And Elijah was taken to heaven by a whirlwind. Well, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for the Lord took him. And it said Enoch had this son when he was 65 years old. He had this son, and he named him Methuselah. Methuselah lived the longest of any person, 969 years. I knew I'd get it right. 969 years, the longest of any person, and it really, his longevity corresponds with his name. His name means "it shall be sent when he is dead," which is a strange name for a father to name his son. "Little it shall be sent when he is dead." Methuselah. And lived the longest, 969 years. And when you do the math, you'll find that the year Methuselah died is the year the flood came. And "it shall be sent." What shall be sent? Judgment on the earth. "It shall be sent when he is dead." And when Methuselah died, that's when the flood came. And he lived the longest, Methuselah did, because it shows the patience of God. As it says in 1 Peter, the patience of God was waiting in the days of Noah. Now, the earth was corrupt in the days of Noah, as the Bible says. "Then the Lord saw," Genesis 6, 5, "that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals, to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.'" Genesis 6, 8, "but Noah found favor," found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Noah was, from my reading of the Old Testament, he was 500 years old when he began to build the ark, when God tapped him for that assignment. 500. Some people say, well, he was 120 years building the ark. We know he was 600 when he got on the ark. So either he started at 480 or he started at 500. I think it's a little confusing in there. Genesis 6:3 says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. And so people say, well, God was giving them 120 years for him to build the ark. But then it talks about Noah being 500 and then 600. So anyway, at least 100 years building the ark. And Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And Noah lived at a terrible time. The earth was corrupt, it says, in the sight of God. It was ruined. It was like bad meat, that had just become rancid. It was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. And the Lord said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. And then he says, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. And God gives him the plan for making this vessel of salvation. The ark is a picture of Jesus Christ. And the judgment is that came on that antediluvian world is the judgment that's coming on our world, not in the form of water, because God put a rainbow in the clouds or in the sky to say, this is my sign of the covenant. I'm never going to destroy the earth again with a flood. He didn't say he wasn't going to destroy the earth again. He is going to destroy it, but not with water. The next time, the coming time, is with fire. And we read about that in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 and following. The Lord is not slow about his promises, some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Okay, you get back to the patience of God. Just like Methuselah, live the longest, it shall be sent when he is dead. Well, he's going to live the longest of any person on the earth to show that God is patient. And some people say, well, I'll just wait then if God is patient. I'm just going to keep sowing my wild oats. I'm going to keep having a big old time. Well, 2 Peter 3:9 says he's patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Then the next verse says, but the day of the Lord will come, and it comes like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be, destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Water the first time in the days of Noah, fire in the coming day. So as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now you ask yourself the question, okay, exactly what were the days of Noah like? Now I remember years and years and years ago listening to a series of messages by Adrian Rogers. He was my hero in the faith. And he talked about, he went through the book of Genesis, and he talked about the days of Noah as he hit Genesis chapter 6. And he said, what were the days of Noah like? And Adrian was the master of alliteration. So he came up with three A's to describe the days of Noah. First A, the days of Noah were days of anarchy, days of lawlessness. And he used a man named Lamech in Genesis chapter 5 as an illustration of the lawlessness. And so Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, you have this man named Lamech, and he had two wives. Now, Lamech took to himself two wives. This is the first time we see that take place in the Old Testament. He took to himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those who play the lyre and the pipe. As for Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze. And this is what Lamech said to his wives. Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Well, Lamech is a picture of the lawlessness that was taking place on the earth. And if a boy would strike him, he would kill him. I've killed a man for wounding me and a boy for striking me. I mean, he's just his own law. And if you mess with Lamech, you're going to end up dead. And if he's got such arrogance and he's got such a swagger about him, well, if the Lord said if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Hey, we live in days of anarchy today. I saw a video this morning. I go on X in the morning and I do the search and I look to see what is trending. And Target, the department store, was trending, or at least it came up. Target can mean other things. But this guy was at Target in San Francisco, and he walked through Target, and he was showing how everything in the store is locked down because there's so much crime that you have to lock down everything. And you can't steal it because you can't get to it. Shopping there would be a nightmare. But days of anarchy, days of lawlessness, but there are also days of apathy. People don't care. A lack of concern about God. You know, it came out recently that when we talk to somebody about salvation and we mention hell, they said, you know, this survey said, you know, people aren't that concerned about hell anymore. And so we need to come up with a different approach and need to talk to them about purpose or something like that. Well, because they're not concerned about eternity. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Hell is a real place. And a person won't be in hell 2 seconds before they have a major, oh no, I have made the worst mistake of my life that will last for all eternity. But the point is people are apathetic. They don't really, I don't really care. And they're apathetic when it comes to spiritual things. They're apathetic when it comes to God. A lack of concern. You know, transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. So days of anarchy, days of apathy, and then days of apostasy. Apostasy is a falling away from the faith. We see that in the United Methodist Church when they had their big conference just a few weeks ago in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, and they voted, hey, we're going to ordain gay bishops and they're going to perform gay weddings, and they all cheer, and that's so wonderful. We're so progressive. We've just gotten past the stuffiness of the scriptural prohibitions. Well, listen, we either do it God's way or we do it our own way. And when you do it God's way, there's blessing. When you do it your own way, you're on your own. And there is a way, Proverbs 16:25, Proverbs 14:12, the same verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And when we apostatize, when we get away from Scripture, when we fall away and embrace the culture, as so many have, so many churches have done that. We're just going to embrace the culture. Well, you are stepping into the days of Noah, because they were days of anarchy, days of apathy, and days of apostasy. And hey, in these days in which we live, if we're not in the days of Noah, we are fast approaching the days of Noah. And what is needed? We need to be faithful as Noah was. We need to shine and share. We need to stand up and speak up and speak the truth in love and stand up for the truth, even if it costs us friends, even if it costs us our job, even if it costs us our freedom, even if it costs us our very lives. Be faithful, Jesus said. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Ken Chaffee, and the author and content manager for the Ark Encounter. And we're going to have a great discussion, so don't go away.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your healthcare costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you. They encourage you. And it's proven, too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus. Find out how much you can save. Call 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE. 833-45-BIBLE.
This is Walker Wildman with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Walker, this month we'll observe Mother's Day. Let me tell you about Mariam, the mother of Shanti Vardhan in India. He was born blind. He lost his father at age 10, and he lived in extreme poverty. Because of all of this despair, he wanted to end his life, but Mariam wanted to raise her son to know and love Jesus. Today at 30, he's led 200 people to Christ, and he can say this with conviction.
If it were not for this disability that God has given, I wouldn't have known God.
Shanti Vardhan went from wanting to end his life to pointing people to the bread of life, and behind all of that, a godly mother praying for her son and a gracious God bringing him from the depths of despair. We want to bless 6,000 Bibleist believers this month. We're far from where we need to be. At $5 a Bible, $60 sends 12. If there's a group that can get us caught up, it's the American Family Radio listening family.
Give generously at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next. There's no doubt the English have some weird traditions when it comes to courtrooms. Barristers have to wear a certain style of dress, and they also have to wear powdered wigs. It's weird, but it's British. They've been doing it since the 16th century. But now the time-honored tradition is coming under fire. A committee's been formed that could end up banning the wigs. Accusations the wigs discriminate against Afro-Caribbean hairstyles. Now, several years ago, a black barrister with a large afro claimed he faced being in contempt of court after he refused to wear that wig, said he was a victim of hair discrimination. They also want to ban collarettes, wing collars, and bands, presumably because those two are offensive to certain people groups. So there you have it, folks. A woke mob is on the verge of scalping British barristers. Be sure to get a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. It's available at your favorite bookstore.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We have Dr. Tim Chafee on the line with us. He's an author and content manager for the ARC Encounter, and American Family Association presents AFA at the ARC 2024. It's going to be October 31st through November 2nd, and we are going to tour the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter. The cost is $225 for adults, $100 for children 3 through 17, and kids 2 and under go free. And so, Dr. Chafee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, my friend. My wife and I are hoping to go to the ARC this summer. I've never been. I've read a lot about it, seen a lot about it. I have great appreciation for Ken Ham and all that you guys do at Answers in Genesis. And so how did you get affiliated with the ARC?
It's a fairly long story. I'll try to make it super quick. I used to live in Wisconsin. I was had been a pastor and a Christian school teacher for a while, and have long been interested in the whole creation, evolution, age of the earth debate. And for many years, I had been had several contacts at Answers in Genesis. And in 2010, they called me up and brought me over as a writer and editor in the web department for about 2.5 years. And then the position opened up to be the content manager for the ARC as it was under construction. And I was the guy. And since then, I've also taken on responsibilities for the Creation Museum. So I do the writing for the exhibits, or at least oversee the writing for all of the exhibits in the ARC and the museum.
Well, very good. Has that been fulfilling for you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I tell people that I never have a Monday. I don't wake up on Monday morning thinking, oh, I got to go to work. No, I love what I do. I get to study God's word. I get to write about it. I get to go out and meet people and talk to them about it. I get to work with people I love working with. I'm truly living the dream.
Amen. Well, I love how I was listening to a program that Ken Ham did, I don't know how many years ago, but it was just the answers in Genesis. He says the first 11 chapters of Genesis answer so many questions that we have today. And, you know, the devil works hard to try and tell us Genesis is myth. And so, Dr. Tim, tell us why we can be confident that Genesis 1 through 11 is not myth and the ark was a real vessel that this man named Noah built.
Yeah, well, what we did at the Ark Encounter, it's in a sense a full-size feasibility study showing that, yes, you could build an ark this large that is made out of wood. Yes, they could get the required food that they would need. You could have enough space for all of the animals required, all of those different things that people might think through, all those objections. We did that. Just 3 weeks ago, I was in the Grand Canyon on a 9-day raft trip. And when you're on the Colorado River, you're looking up and you're seeing a mile's worth of sediment. Of all of these layers are laid down by water. And there is so much abundant evidence that those things were laid down rapidly during one large-scale event, because you find those same layers in different places all around the world. And you see rock that is, you know, bent and curved without fracturing, you know, throughout there. So there's so much physical evidence that there was a worldwide flood. To the point that if the Bible had never said worldwide flood, I think every single geology textbook in the world would say there was a worldwide flood in the past, because it explains the features that we see. But they won't say it because that's what the Bible teaches.
Right, right. Okay, so age of the earth, answers in Genesis. Does it put a number on it, or just says under 10,000?
Yeah, well, under 10,000. We usually say about 6,000. You know, you can't get to an exact number. Adam was 130 when he has a son Seth. That doesn't say 130 in 2 months and 4 days. So, you know, you can't get exact, but ballpark, we would say about 6,000.
Right. All right. And then just what is 1656 years from the time of Adam till the time of the flood?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of wickedness took place. Adam lived 930 years, so he saw all his descendants go the wrong direction, and heartbreaking for sure. Well, AFA at the Ark is going to be an exciting experience. What will our attendees, what can they expect?
Well, I think they're going to be blown away by the size of the Ark if they haven't seen it in person. It's one thing to kind of measure it off like in a big field and think, oh, this is how big the Ark is. But until you see it in three dimensions and you see how tall it is and everything, it kind of takes your breath away. So that's going to be the first thing that people will notice, the quality of the workmanship and all of the exhibits, everything that's fabricated. I think they'll be impressed by that. But I think more than anything else, and that's what we hear from a lot of people, is it really brings the account of Noah and the flood to life for them, because there's so many different details that they never considered. And now it helps them understand these were real people who went through a real terrible event in history, and yet God preserved them ultimately to bring about the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Amen. So here's a question for you, Dr. Tim. With the state of our country and all the evil influences on children and parents people are facing in general, what can believers expect to take home with them after visiting the Ark?
Yeah, well, one we've already talked about, it shows that the biblical history is true when it's dealing with creation, with the flood. And you'll see the same thing at the Creation Museum, just a little bit different emphasis, more toward creation rather than the flood account. So it's helpful to know that the history in Scripture is true, which helps us understand that we can rely on the spiritual message that is given in Scripture. But even more than that, the focal point of the entire museum, and really of the Ark, is not just creation and the flood. The focus is Jesus Christ and the gospel. So we want people to know that when they come through the Ark, they're going to encounter the gospel itself. It's going to be presented multiple times and in various ways, but it's always that, you know, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone.
Amen. Okay, so Dr. Tim, you are an apologist. That's in your DNA. So if you were going to play the other side of the fence, The biblical account, I believe it with all my heart, that took place. The flood did take place. As you said, geology confirms that. What would be the areas where people would poke at in terms of the biblical account that are hard for us to answer?
Can we go beyond just the flood issue, or do
sure,
you want
sure.
something?
Yeah.
So I think the one that I don't know if we have a really good answer for, we have several proposed ones, is the starlight issue. How can we, if the Earth is really just 6,000 years old and the universe is roughly the same age, how do we see light from stars that were created on day four if those stars are more than 6,000 light years away? You know, sometimes we think maybe even millions or billions of light years away. And, of course, it's important to remember that a light year is not a measurement of distance or of time. It's a measurement of distance. And there are several proposed theories by creationists that attempt to answer that. I don't know if we've completely solved it, but one thing to keep in mind, because I'm sure your listeners have heard that objection before, the evolutionists have the exact same problem. It's called the horizon problem. They don't have enough time in their 13.7 or 14.3 billion years to get all of the light and heat dissipated to different places in the universe. So they have the same problem, just not quite to the same degree.
Okay, very good. Well, since you were a pastor and then you shifted in 2010, Tim, what's been the biggest difference for you personally? Because you're now immersed in Answers in Genesis, whereas before, as a pastor, you're kind of from Genesis to Revelation, so to speak. And I appreciate everything that you guys do, because Genesis 1 through 11 does answer so many questions that we have for us. But how has that been different for you personally?
Well, I think what you mentioned is a difference. I mean, I enjoy studying all of Scripture and talking and teaching about it. I can do that in my local church setting. I've got my own blog on the side that I can do those sort of things. But when I'm here at work, yeah, there's more of an emphasis, Genesis 1 through 11. But still, the emphasis is ultimately the gospel and a biblical worldview. So we do focus on more than just Genesis 1 through 11, but that is, I guess you'd say that's our area of expertise.
Yeah.
And our emphasis, and then the other issues we still talk about.
All right. Let me ask you this question, because as I was preaching through Genesis not too long ago, what do you think, when it came to the situation of Noah being drunk and his son finding him and telling his other brothers, do you think it was just an issue of him looking on his father's nakedness, or was there something else that was done there? Because it says when Noah awoke, he knew what his younger son had done to him.
Yeah, I think, now this is one that is kind of controversial. There's four different perspectives on that. I think when you read carefully what the text is saying, you know, two times before he even tells us what Ham did, it says Ham, the father of Canaan, and Ham, the father of Canaan. And when you look at what it means to uncover your father's nakedness, when you go through Leviticus, it has to do with having a relationship with his wife. And so I think when you read it carefully, what the passage is really telling us is that Ham actually did something with his mother.
Oh,
and
wow.
The result of that was Canaan. And that gives you explanatory power as to why Noah curses Canaan, the son, because the other examples don't really make sense of that, or the other options. Why, if Ham did something wrong, why is Canaan the one cursed?
Right.
After Noah learns what happened. But if he's an illegitimate child, then it's very similar to what happened with Lot and his two daughters. So you have essentially the Canaanites, the descendants of Canaan. Then you have the Moabites, the Ammonites, are all, like Israel's enemies when they come into the land, they're all illegitimate children.
Huh.
What's being set up there. But there are other perspectives as well. You know, some people think he just saw his nakedness, but it also makes sense why he went out and told his brothers, because in that, you can see it in other examples in the Bible. Reuben sleeps with Jacob's handmaiden. You have,
right.
David's son Adonijah tries to get Abishag as a wife. And Absalom actually takes 10 of David's
concubines.
So if you can have dad's woman, in a sense, then you are the one in control. You're the one in charge. And so I think that's kind of what's going on there.
Yeah. What's the Answers in Genesis position on the Nephilim?
Well, Nephilim itself, the word just means giants. Uh-huh. But as a ministry, we don't really get into where they came from, meaning like who were the sons of God. That's one that we don't have an official view on. We have an unofficial. How would you say this? So officially, we don't have an official position. There are three primary views. I actually did my THM thesis on the topic and wrote a 500-page book on the topic. So I've got a lot of details about it. Well, I'm 6'9", so I've been called that over and over again. In fact, Ken Ham's nickname, his nickname for me is Nephil-Tim. So,
that's
and
funny.
So, yeah, whenever he introduces me to people, he's like, you heard in Genesis 6:4 there were giants on the earth. Well, here you go. So we can have fun with it, and we can have different perspectives on it within the ministry as far as where they came from, and we can still work together for the, you know, what God has called us to do here. And so it's nice knowing that that Christians can work together on a greater cause, so to speak,
right,
sharing the gospel, even if you don't see eye to eye on every single point.
Right. Yeah, I say a lot, Tim, that good and godly people can disagree on things. Well, we talked about at the opening of the program, so Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, I asked Erwin Lutzer, I said, do you think we're in the days of Noah? And he said, no. He obviously believes we're approaching the days of Noah. He didn't think we were quite there yet. And then Jeff Kinley, the prophecy pro, he said, well, I think we are in the days of Noah. How would you answer that question?
I think there are a lot of similarities between our day and Noah's day, and the fact that people are just going about their daily business, not paying attention to what God has said, not paying attention to the warning signs. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at in Matthew 24, that, you know, people just, they're not paying attention to the things of the Lord in any way. The one area where I think that I would agree that we're not quite there with, agree with Erwin Lutzer, Noah, God says that I've seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Can you imagine being the only guy?
Yeah.
I mean, we have millions and millions of Christians around the world, and we can rejoice over that, and we have a fellowship with one another. But it would be hard to imagine being alone, you know, in that sense of not having a bail. So I don't think it's quite as bad, but certainly there are many similarities, and we have a world that is. It's almost like Romans 1. You keep reading the end of Romans 1. It's like, well, that describes our culture perfectly. We've done all these things and more.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Tim, just encourage our listeners, if you would, on this trip and why they should sign up.
Well, I think you definitely should come. It's going to be, for many people, it's life-changing. It helps them not only have a deeper confidence in God's word, but it also is a great testimony to their friends and family who come with them. The gospel will be presented. They're going to be not only encouraged in their faith, they're going to learn how to better defend it. And I think it will make a lasting impact on them, not just at the Ark Encounter, but also the Creation Museum.
And logistically, how far is the Creation Museum from the Ark Encounter?
It's about 45 minutes drive northwest up there.
Okay. And most people, when they come and visit, they visit both?
I think we get about half of the people who attend the Ark will come over to the museum.
Okay.
And which is still great. The museum was not built to hold a million people a year like the Ark is. And so, but we've seen our numbers climb drastically once the Ark opened. And so we have actually had to renovate the museum in many ways to make wider hallways and change the way we teach in the exhibits. It used to be that it was just a small fraction of evangelical / fundamental Christianity who would come to the museum. Now it's people from all backgrounds who have no idea about the age of the earth. And so we have to tailor our message to people who aren't familiar with it and still teach the same thing, but in a different way.
Yeah. Amen. Very good. Well, Tim, thanks so much for being my guest today, and looking forward to the Ark Encounter at American Family Association. So God bless you, my brother, and keep on what you're doing. You're making a big difference.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on. God bless.
God bless. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and that was Dr. Tim Chafee, who is author and content manager for the Ark Encounter. And hey, come and be a part of that, AFA at the Ark. It's going to be a great, great trip. Hey, when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Hi, I'm Jan Harper.
And I'm Bert.
If you're a pastor's wife, you know both the blessings and the unique challenges that come with the life you and your husband live daily. We call it living in the fishbowl.
The 2024 Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 22nd through 24th. This year's retreat will be at Pickwick Landing State Park in Counts, Tennessee. As always, the Fishbowl Retreat is hosted by Pastor Bert Harper of American Family Radio and his wife Jan. Our special speaker will be Dr. Ray Pritchard, co-host of today's issues on AFR, and his wife Marlene. Registration is open now and space is limited. Your registration fee of $400 per couple covers lodging, meals, and materials. Come get some much-needed encouragement at the Fishbowl Retreat. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
As believers in Christ, why should we still read the Old Testament?
Well, I'm sure there's some good stuff in there if you can get past all the laws.
You know, if you've never experienced the richness of reading the whole Bible, you don't know what you're missing. There are themes running through the Bible that are woven together like a tapestry. By looking at the big picture, we can appreciate the beautiful story of redemption that God has given us.
I guess I mainly read the New Testament. I don't know.
Personally, I find it helpful to read in both the Old and New Testaments at the same time. It's amazing how the Old sheds light on the New and vice versa. Jesus said, "Every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." Have you been appreciating both the newer and the older treasures found in God's Word? With Seeking Him, I'm Nancy DeMoss Wagmuth.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking to Dr. Tim Chafee, who is the content creator and an author, a prolific author, works for the ARC Experiment, and we had a great conversation with him. And we would love for you to join us at AFA at the ARC, October 31st through November 2nd, and touring the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter. Cost is $225 for adults 18 and over, $100 for children 3 to 17, and free for children 2 years old and under. And the trip includes transportation to the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter from the hotel, lunch for both days of the tour, special presentation by Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content, Dr. Georgia Purdom, special presentation at the ARC by Answers in Genesis speaker Brian Osborne, and much more. So you can go to register at afa.net/events and click on AFA at the ARC. Well, we're opening the phone lines for your questions, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, we've been talking about Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. The days of Noah were days of anarchy. They were days of apathy. They were days of apostasy. And every intent of the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually. And God was sorry that he made man on the earth. And he destroyed the earth with a flood. And one man, Noah, found favor, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saved Noah and his family. And God would have saved many, many more, but nobody responded. Sad, sad commentary on the hearts of men. Well, we have Scott on the line from Louisiana. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. Pastor Jeff, I really appreciate your show and enjoy it.
Thank you.
Just listening here today, I'm a geologist, and I've been to the Ark Encounter. I've been to the Creation Museum, and I really had some problems with some of that. I appreciate that. And I guess my point is, and I'm not kicking anybody down the road or any of that, but as I would say that I would not be in my proper lane if I were to try to do what you do and what the gentleman there was talking about. And in other words, your lane is what you do. My lane is what I do. And we need to stay out of each other's lane, in my opinion. In other words, I'm saying that I could speak all day on why there was that. I don't feel like there was a worldwide flood and that the Grand Canyon was formed in a day or two or in 40 days or whatever. That just didn't happen. Another thing I have a problem with the Ark is there's dinosaurs on the Ark, and that there were not dinosaurs on the Ark. And they have them on there at the Ark Encounter. I'm just saying, my thing is, and I've heard Alex McFarland say some things that just because they got a student to fall for what he came up with doesn't mean it's correct. I'm not saying I'm correct, but I'm not saying you're correct either. And I think that we need to stay in our lanes, in my opinion, on what our expertise is about. And not come out and say, okay, it's 6,000. That's what the Bible says. But we don't know. You don't know. I don't know. The guy that just spoke does not know. We don't know. I know there is a God. I know I'm not him. That's what
right.
I know. It's
well,
not going to keep me out of heaven. But
right.
It's not going to keep you out of heaven. But the thing is, we need to stay in our lane before we try to tell different things that we don't know anything about. And I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings on that. But that's just my thoughts on the conversation today.
Yeah, good. Let me just respond to that, Scott. And I appreciate you calling in. So I've said before from the pulpit, yeah, you don't know, you weren't there. I don't know, I wasn't there. The only one who was there tells us how he did it, and he tells us he did it in 6 24-hour days. So I'm going to go with him. And God does speak in his word about creation, and he tells us how he did it. And so here's always been my position. If you just read the scripture and you don't have anything outside of that, nobody would ever read the Bible and come up with this idea of billions of years. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible says God spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And the Lord made everything in 6 24-hour days. He rested on the seventh day. And the Bible repeats that in Exodus chapter 20 when it talks about the day of rest, the Sabbath day of rest. And it says, hey, 6 days you shall labor, and the seventh you shall rest. For in 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh day, and he blessed that seventh day as a special day of rest. So I just go back to Scripture. And I agree with you, Scott. I wasn't there. You weren't there. But God was there, and God wrote about it through Moses in Genesis chapters 1 through 11. In the early chapters of Genesis, Genesis 1 and 2, we read about creation, then we read about the fall and all the things that happened. So I just choose to say, hey, I'm going to trust what the Lord says. I like what Adrian Rogers said one time in a message. He said, I'd rather stand before the Lord and have the Lord tell me, you took my word too literally, than have the Lord say to me, you explained my word away too easily. And so I'm just going to go with what God says and do the best I can with all the information that's coming in to say, okay, not does the Bible match up with science, but does this jive with Scripture. And so, as anybody will know that studies in science, they're coming up with all sorts of new things. And what they did in medical science 100 years ago, we shouldn't have done that. That wasn't the way to go. But now we have more information. We know things. The Bible doesn't change like that. It's thus says the Lord, and that's... That's what God says, the God who knows the end from the beginning, the God that is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But I appreciate you calling in, Scott. I appreciate that point of view, and I'm glad you went to the Ark and the Creation Museum. And as Tim Chaffee said, Chaffee, as he said, you know, not everybody that comes there is necessarily believing that these things are true. They're checking it out. And so that's good. I think we come before the Lord. We come with our questions. We come with our doubts. We come with our presuppositions. Obviously, everybody has those. And we bring them before the Lord, say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? Now, maybe I get to the place where I say, but I don't think it's like that. But you have to back up and say, okay, but what does it say? And then do I line up with what it says, or do I reject what it says? But you can't have it both ways. You can't try and say, well, God didn't really mean that or whatever. God means what he says and says what he means, and we can trust the word of God. So God bless you, my brother. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, and you can be somebody that doesn't agree with the age of the earth. You can be somebody that doesn't agree, and that's fine to call in. But as I said, you know, we're going to go, as the scripture says in the book of Romans, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. And as Scott said, he wasn't there. I wasn't there. Richard Dawkins wasn't there. Nobody was there except God, the one who wrote about it through Moses. And his spirit came upon Moses to write these things. And so I'll go with the God that was there. Well, we have Rick on the line from Arkansas. Rick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
I'm just listening to the last caller. I would make this comment. The God made Adam fully mature.
Right.
When he made the earth and the universe, when he spoke it into being, he made it fully mature. So we can look at it from a scientific standpoint and say, well, that's impossible. But again, you know, God making something out of nothing is totally impossible to man. So
right.
That's my comment.
Yeah, great comment, Rick. So that was I used that illustration the other day. Somebody asked me a question about that. And I said, well, you know, when the Lord turned water into wine, the first miracle at Cana of Galilee, if you were to analyze the wine and come up with how old is this? Well, we know that wine takes a certain amount of time. You have to grow the grapes, and then the grapes have to ferment, you know, take the juice from the grape and ferment and all that. Well, the wine was seconds old, but you can't have wine that's seconds old. Well, the Lord can do that. And so the same way with the earth. I had a geology professor when I was at the University of Texas, and I had a degree in petroleum land management, so I took quite a bit of geology. And he said this. He said, well, if the earth is not billions of years old, it sure looks it. And so he said, maybe that's the answer, that God made it to look old, which didn't make sense to him. Why would God make something new look so old? But as you pointed out, Rick, Adam was he wasn't an infant when God made him. He was a fully mature man. And so if you were to see Adam in the garden, hey, how old are you? And he said, well, I'm a day old. Well, no way you're a day old. You look like you're 33. No, day old. And so things can look a lot older than they are because God made it mature. So really good point. Thanks, Rick, for calling in. We have Becky on the line from South Carolina. Becky, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your ministry, Pastor. I just had a quick comment. There's a great documentary. You may have already shared this. It's called Is Genesis History? It has top PhD scientists, geologists, anthropologists, brilliant Christians who happen to be scientists. and they start on Mount St. Helens.
And they talk about
it's tremendous. I have a brother who's already deceased, but he was a biologist, and he says there's more evidence for the worldwide flood. There's more evidence. Almost every culture has a flood in their history.
Right.
We believe this by faith, and yes, it won't keep you out of heaven if you don't believe it, but I know that God is creator. If you look at my husband's out in the garden right now, and the Fibonacci series in the sunflowers, why are the pumpkins growing like crazy today? Because they had rain and sun. I mean, there is a creator, and he did it in his plan, and we accept that because we're not God. It's okay to talk about things, but we have to come back. We don't have our truth, and you don't have your truth. We have the truth, and the Word says He created all things. So
right.
I don't have an issue with that. He can walk on water. He can tell the molecules to hang on. I'm coming through. I don't have a problem with that. But anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good.
We live out in the woods, and I see His hand every day in the bluebirds, in the bees. And how do animals know to bring their insects, these insects, to the baby birds? Because God gave them their minds. God gave them their instincts. And I don't know. I just get excited. I think going in the wilderness, going in the wild, takes the wild out of us. If you can look at a flower and say, well, that just happened to be there. But when you look and you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. I appreciate it, Becky. So is GenesisHistory.com, that's the website, and you can find out more about the documentary. It's Del Tackett is the one that serves as the guide in this program, in this documentary, Dr. Del Tackett. He had the Truth Project, very smart guy. And it does start off in Mount St. Helens, where the volcano was. And you can see what all has taken place there. And he points out, hey, how long did this take to form? And if you said millions of years, you'd be wrong. It just took a short amount of time because it's after the volcano erupted. And so he just shows how things can take place very rapidly that we would look at after the fact and say, no, that had to take place over many, many, many years. And that's not the case. So check it out, is GenesisHistory.com. And I think you can watch that live stream very easily. So thanks, Becky. God bless you. Well, thank you. We're down to the last minute on Real Truth for today. But thank you for joining me today. And thank you for this good discussion on Genesis, on Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Hey, we may not be in the days of Noah, but we are quickly approaching the days of Noah, days of anarchy, days of apathy, days of apostasy. So what do we need to do as believers? We need to stand firm in the faith. We need to trust the Word of God. Even if it doesn't seem to make sense, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar, and stand firm in His Word. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, and share, open your mouth and share what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. And know this, God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.